Should I be mean? Should I send some of the men out there and put flats on their tires so they can't leave us? We would love to have them here for a long time, wouldn't we? Isn't that precious? And the amazing thing of it is this. He did not know what I was going to preach on. But the song fits exactly in the message. Now that's the Holy Spirit. Take your Bibles and turn to Genesis 24. Our subject this morning, the journey towards a wedding. I'm going to a wedding. Are you? I'm going to be a part of that wedding. Are you? And I'll tell you something else. It's not going to be very long, and we're going to be getting ready for that wedding. And I hope you're getting ready now, if you're Christ. Chapter 24, look at verse 58 down through verse 61. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the service thus far and how thy hand is upon it. And we praise you for it. And we ask thee, Spirit of God, this morning, work in hearts here that need to know thee. We know that you're here in a special manner this morning. And we thank you for it. And we ask now, especially, speak to these hearts that need to know thee. Put that hunger in them to know thee, Lord, and follow thee. And then strengthen thy children here as only thou art able. But get glory to thyself in all that's done. Amen. Towards a wedding. Two things we're going to have time to look at. I don't even know if we'll get time to look at all of them. But our lesson falls into this category. First of all, what takes place clearly. And then, secondly, the problems of the pilgrimage. You see, you and I that are saved are journeying towards the wedding. That wedding is the marriage supper of the Lamb, found in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. And beloved, it'll take place when the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is caught up to be with the Lord. And then we're going to be married unto the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. And God the Father will perform the ceremony. Now the Lord's church is being constructed at this hour. It's not complete yet. The last soul for whom Christ died has not yet been saved. And that's the reason the Lord hasn't come back. But I'm going to tell you this. He's going to come back, and when he does, he's going to come in at 10,000 feet of the air. He's going to rapture us unto himself, and then will take place the preparation for the marriage supper of the Lamb, because we'll stand at the judgment seat of Christ. While God deals with this earth in judgment, we'll be married unto the Lord Jesus, and then our Lord's going to bring us back to a new heaven and a new earth for an eternal honeymoon. Now, I'm going to be there. Are you? I hope you are. If you're not, I hope something will take place in your heart so that you can be a part of this wedding. Now this is set forth in the story of Isaac and Rebekah. The servant of Abraham was sent by Abraham, which is a picture of the Holy Spirit of God being sent by the Lord God of heaven to procure a bride for Christ. Rebekah was found in Mesopotamia, at least 500 miles away from Isaac. She had never seen him, never heard of him, and never knew anything about him until the servant appeared on the scene. And Rebekah is a picture of a sinner. And so as the servant came, what did he do? He set forth the glories of his master Abraham. And that's what the Holy Spirit does when he sets out to reach down and deliver a sinner. In like manner, what happened? God moved mysteriously upon the heart of Rebekah. And so when the final question came, Wilt thou go with this man? She answered three words, I will go. And that sealed the transaction. Now that's a picture of how God saves a sinner. But we're going to go into it a little bit more deeply this morning, as we're going to set forth what takes place in redemption. Now if you're saved here today, this is what happened to you. You may have never heard it described like it is this morning, but I'm sure you'll be like the man in Africa when he heard me speak on particular redemption, how redemption was made particular to him, and it made him rejoice and recognize that he was not a part of God's accident, but he was also part of God's plan, wasn't he? So are you. And you're here this morning, the truth. And I hope that the Lord give you listening ears. So let's look into our lesson for just a few moments. What takes place with regard to redemption? Five simple things. First of all, it will be a surrender. Rebecca surrendered to the claims that were being put forth upon her. Now, what were these claims? The claim was this: Isaac wants you, Rebecca, for a bride. Are you listening? Sinner, the Lord God of heaven is putting a claim upon you at this hour. He wants you to be part of his bride. Now, it involves a surrender. You say, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, we find very clearly what the servant said to Rebekah was the same as Isaac was speaking. And what was it? I want you for my bride. Number one, I love you. Number two, I have riches and I'll be able to take care of you. And I want you to become a part of the promises of God that he has given to me. And you will be graced with riches unimaginable. And are you listening? That's what the Holy Spirit says to the sinner today. Sinner, the Lord Jesus Christ wants you because he wants you to be part of the great plan that he has concocted before the foundation of the world, and he's carrying it out in determination and predestination, and he wants you to be a part of it. And beloved, I'll tell you this, as I'm speaking to you these words today, it's as though the Lord Jesus Christ himself is speaking to you at this hour. Now, how come? I'm his spokesman. I'm his ambassador. And God didn't put you here by happenstance. God didn't put you here by accident. God put you here so that you can hear the truth of God, and also you'll be brought to a place where you have to do one of two things, either say yes or no. And you see, salvation involves a surrender. Now that's the first aspect. How did Rebecca surrender? Look at verse 58 of our text, if you will. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. All right, I want to ask every sinner here this morning this question. Will you not right there trust the Lord Jesus Christ? You say, but Pastor, I can't. Not in yourself, we know that. But God's speaking to you to glory. That's what he's asking you. The servant asked Rebekah, will you go with me to be married to Isaac, and to have the greatest riches that your eye and your heart could ever imagine? Will you? Yes or no? And God says to the sinner here this morning in this hour, will you not come to the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you not say yes to Christ? And I will give you the greatest riches that you can have this side of eternity. Oh, they won't be material riches, but they'll be spiritual riches. And what are they? Your sins will be forgiven, your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and so on and so forth, and God will take care of you. And the answer will be one of two things. I will go, or no, I will not go. And the responsibility will be on you. You see, it involves the surrender on the part of Rebekah, and it involves the surrender on the part of the individual. No person can get saved for somebody else, so don't believe that they can. And I'm going to tell you something now. Salvation is not also just uttering a simple sinner's prayer. I've prayed the sinner's prayer. Well, what did the sinner's prayer consist of? If you look at it very carefully, it consists of a surrender to the individual, to the authority and the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ, and it has to come from the soul, doesn't it? Now, that's the first aspect. Will you surrender to Christ? The second thing takes place is this: separation. Look again, Genesis 24, if you will. Look at verse 61. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. Now, I want you to notice, no time element was mentioned here. Now, what in the world are you talking about? Well, he was only there overnight. The servant was only in the house of Bethuel overnight. They arose in the morning, and the servant said, send me away to my master. And then these people asked him, they inquired, and I should say, they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And this is what happened. They blessed Rebekah and said, be thou the mother of thousands of, and possess the gate of them that hate thee. And the next thing took place is she was gone. Now, what do you have here? Instantaneous redemption. God doesn't save in degrees. He has it from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. It's an instantaneous redemption. No time element involved. Rebecca also left in a moment of time. Now, what do you have here? We see very clearly they tried to hold her back for 10 days and the servant said no. And then when they came to Rebecca, she said immediately, I will go. And the next thing you know, she hopped on her camel and away she went. And what do you have here? You have separation. And when our Lord saves the sinner, immediately there is a separation on the part of that sinner from the claims of Satan and the world and the flesh and the devil. He now belongs, or she now belongs, to the King. It's a surrender, it's a separation, and then I want you to notice something else. The world didn't care about her going. We don't read of a great cry going out after Rebecca leaving. What did she do? We find very clearly, she arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebecca and went his way. And I'll tell you right now, it took place in a very short moment of time. Now, what does that mean? Instantaneous redemption. Because the moment an individual surrenders to the Lord Jesus Christ, what happens? We are crucified with the Lord Jesus Christ at that very instant, and we find very clearly the world has no claim upon us anymore, and we have been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Our third thing was this. Notice again. Rebecca arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man, and the servant took Rebecca and went his way. And what do you have here? You have severe testing ahead. Now, what are you talking about? All right, follow me. The moment Rebecca said, I will go, she was immediately a portion and a part of the possession of Isaac. Now, follow me. She was that very instant betrothed Isaac. It was then his responsibility to see to it that she arrived safe and sound. But she had over 500 miles of desert to travel. They didn't hop a jet plane. Friday morning at 6:30 or 7:30 in the morning, I was in the airport in Little Rock, Arkansas. And 10:30, I was in the airport in Detroit City. Almost 1,000 miles in a very short time. Well, Rebecca couldn't travel that way. They traveled on camels. And those camels don't travel very fast across the desert. They don't gallop all the way. They have a certain pace, and they move that pace. And what does it mean? It means that there was a long journey ahead for Rebecca until she reached her goal. And there she portrays the journey of a believer, which is a long journey, and it involves many testings until we reach our goal. Now, some of you here, you've been saved maybe 20, 30, 40 years. That may seem like a long time, but we still haven't arrived, have we? We're still on the road, and we still have severe testings that will take place. Now, don't be surprised, because this is exactly what the Word of God teaches. So turn back, if you will, to Acts chapter 14, and we'll show you this that is found in the New Testament just as well. In Acts chapter 14, and we find in verse 27 these words. Notice, in verse 27 we read how that God had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. But in Acts chapter 14 and verse 22, we read these words, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Now, that doesn't mean we're going to go through the great tribulation, but it means this, that a believer is going to have severe testings ahead before we reach the final goal. And we're not going to be without them. And we need to understand that. And that's why that song fits in so good that our brother sang, don't take your eyes off the Savior. Now why? We've got severe testings ahead. What did Rebecca face? Well, she faced heat. She faced desert. She faced the possibility of going hungry. She faced also the possibility of great danger. And we find yet very clearly she reached the goal. And we find that's the truth of a believer at this hour. We're going to reach the goal. Severe testings are ahead. But that brings us to the fourth thing. And what is this? It's the certainty of our destination. Now go back again to Genesis chapter 24, if you will, and I want you to notice the ending of our lesson this morning, or this portion, I should say, of the Word of God. It's not the ending of our lesson, but it's the ending, you might say, of the story. In Genesis chapter 24, we find very clearly, look at verse 64. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel, for she had said unto the servant, "What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us?" And the servant had said, "It is my master." Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah, and she became his wife. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. What do you have here? The certainty of destination. Now, believer, I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to get there. No ifs, ands, and buts about it. No matter what the trial may be, no matter what the testing is, no matter how hard and how dark it looks, and no matter how crooked the road ahead, we're going to have the certainty of our destination. Now, how do you know? Because the Lord God of heaven can't go back. You see, all the power and all the riches and all the integrity of Abraham and Isaac, as well as of God, follow me now, all of this was for Rebekah. And if Rebekah had not arrived to become Isaac's wife, the Lord Jesus Christ couldn't have been born. Now think on it. All right, now listen. Not one soul for whom the Lord Jesus Christ has died can ever utterly or eternally be lost. They've all got to come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and every last one of them have got to reach heaven. Now, there's various ways they may get there. Some may go through martyrdom. All right, we'll still get to glory. Some are going to be caught up in the rapture. Some may go through the grave. But everyone for whom the Lord Jesus Christ has died shall be saved. One for whom has died shall reach the pearly gates of glory and shall be a part of the great bride that the Lord Jesus is preparing in this age at this hour. Now, I don't know whether that does anything to you or not, but I'm going to tell you right now, it puts some intestinal fortitude in my backbone, because I know that we're not going to fail, and that no matter what the trial is, put it down, we're going to win. Wasn't it thrilling to hear about Neil? Wasn't it a joy? You think of it. Just think of it now. The United States government coming to the aid of a Baptist man. And not only that, coming to the aid, but I'm going to tell you this, winning the case absolutely. And I remember very clearly when he came in the study and told me, he said, "Well, I lost my job." I said, "Neil," I said, "you can't take that line down." I said, "We're like the Apostle Paul." And I sent him down to the EEOC. He didn't know anything about it, but I knew a little bit about it. I didn't know if they'd take the case or not, but before he left, we had prayer, and I don't know if he remembered me praying for him or not, but I said, "Well, you go down there, we'll be praying that the Lord will cause them to take that case." They not only took that case, and I'll tell you right now, they pursued it to the end, and the end result complete come about. And you should have seen the scoffing and the laughing and everything else that was going on by the other side. Oh, they were so cocky. You're never going to win. But God did it. And you have the certainty that we're going to reach our destination. Why? Because, listen now, the servant was responsible for the arrival of Rebekah. And follow me closely. The Holy Spirit of God is the guarantee of our arrival. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and I'll show you what I'm talking about. Ephesians chapter 1. And look at me, if you will, at verses 13 and 14. And what a joy this is for every true believer. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, we read, "Peace of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory." Now you get that? If one soul for whom Christ died does not reach the pearly gates, then the Lord Jesus Christ died in vain. And I'm going to tell you right now, God cannot get any glory out of a sinner being converted. But God gets glory out of it. And so you have here the certainty of our destination. And then last of all, you have also the sweetness of communion. I'm going to save that for later on, but I can imagine what a grand and glorious time there must have been when Isaac and Rebekah met for the first time. She had a veil over her because that's a symbol of her modesty. But can't you imagine, and I can see it very clearly as Isaac looked up and saw the camels were coming, and he knew who they were. And he waited as he was in the field at the even time. And there's a great deal of truth in there, but we're going to save that for some other time. You just have to come back and get another message on it. But we find also, as Isaac lifted up his eyes and he saw the camels were coming, and then Rebekah just got down off that camel. And there she was, veiled as a symbol of modesty. And the servant came and took Rebekah by the hand, and he said to her, he said, "This is your bridegroom." And no doubt, he said to Isaac, he said, "Here's your bride." And you know what happened? The two of them came together, and he took her and put her in her mother's tent, in his mother's tent. And then what happened? They were married, and they lived happily ever after. And are you listening? That's the consummation of our redemption. Now, someone might say, "Oh, now, preacher, wait a minute. How do you get all that? It's there." Because after the Lord comes after us and takes us unto Himself, and we'll be married to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you right now, we'll be loved by Him as we are already, but the manifestation of His love will be manifested to us even more than ever before, all through the eternity, and He's going to put us on a new heaven and a new earth where there's no sin or anything like that. And I'm going to tell you right now, that's in store for every believer. But the sweetness of the consummation is when we meet and see the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. We love Him now, but oh, how much we love Him more when we see Him face to face. Now, that's our first lesson. You want to go home? There's some more here. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? Well, we all have problems. You see, our lesson has, first of all, the picture of redemption. And now, secondly, and I'm only going to touch on one thing. And we have very clearly here the problems of our pilgrimage. Now, look again. Genesis chapter 24, if you will. And look for me, verse 61. "And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way." Now, let's stop right here. Here you have the pilgrimage, or I should say the problems of our pilgrimage. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? Well, when an individual gets saved, I'm going to tell you this. First of all, there's new relationship and a new leadership. Before, we were led by the course of this world. We were dominated by the spirit of Satan, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And I'll tell you right now, we were also dominated by our flesh. And you know what the criterion of the flesh is? Get even or get them before they get you. And that's going on all across the world at this hour. But when an individual gets converted, there's new relationships. Now, what are you talking about? Rebekah was required, follow me now, was required to follow the leadership of the servant. You and I are required to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Now let us soak in. And we find very clearly, what does it do? We see it involves all facets of life. Now where do we follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God? Well, why? The Word of God's going to convict us if we don't. And in the judgment, put it down. God's going to use the Word of God as His criterion. And then we find very clearly, if we don't follow the Holy Spirit, we get in trouble. So turn to Galatians chapter 5, if you will, and look at me. "Ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the spirit,
and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, you get that? You see, we have to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. This did not know where she was going. We know we're going to heaven. But you answer me this question. Tell me where heaven is. Just tell me where heaven is. Well, someone might say it's in the north. Could be. But where really is it? Well, it's up. Well, where's up? Have you thought of that? We're going to a prepared place for a prepared people, but listen to me now, we really don't know where it is. Now, you understand that. Or you say, preacher, I'm going to heaven. Fine, where's heaven? Well, it's up. Where's up? The astronauts are up there right now. They're not in heaven. Well, where is heaven? It's beyond the atmosphere, isn't it? But we're going there. You and I haven't been there. Rebecca was on her way to become the bride of Isaac. You and I are on our way to become the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. We belong to Him now. But He hasn't been consummated yet. It will in the future. Now on the way, listen carefully. The servant knew where he was going. Listen to me now. The Holy Spirit knows where He's taken us. He's been to heaven. It's His home as well as the home of the Lord Jesus. And He's come down here to conduct us safely through the pilgrimage that we are on to bring us unto glory safe and sound. Now our responsibility is to do what? We are to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit and of the Word of God. And always remember very clearly now, the Word of God is the final authority. Therefore, we have to prove everything that we believe as it's set forth for us in the Word of God, and I'm glad we can do it. Aren't you? We can. People come along and they say, all right, you believe that God reprobates people. Can you prove it in the Word of God? I can. You believe that God elects people. Can you prove it? I can. You believe that God saves people. Can you prove it? I sure can. God's Word teaches it, doesn't it? If so, it's the final authority. And like Rebecca, we have to follow the leadership of the servant of God who is pictured for us, or I should say, who is the Holy Spirit, because He is the servant. The Holy Spirit doesn't call attention to Himself. He glorifies the Lord Jesus. The servant in Genesis 24 didn't call attention to Himself. He called attention to Isaac. And there you have a picture of God, the Holy Spirit. And the servant knew where he was going, and therefore, as he told Rebecca, he said, come and go with me. And she said, I will go. And she hopped on her camel, and away they went. And first thing you know, her city was out of sight. There was nothing behind her, and nothing but a vast expanse of desert. And she looked ahead, and she said there was a vast expanse of desert. And no doubt, if she'd wandered away from the servant, she'd have gotten lost. But aren't you glad? The servant did a letter, didn't he? And God, the Holy Spirit, won't let you and me wander away from Him very far or very long. What does He do? He brings us back. And we find very clearly now, the believer is required to follow the leadership of God in His Word. And it involves, listen now, it involves all facets of our life. It does. One of the first things I do when I talk to a new believer, I ask him this. I said, all right, if they're here in this church, I said, all right, will you become a member of this church by following the Lord God of heaven in obedience and baptism? And of course, they say yes. They want to do what God says. All right. The next thing is this. Will you give 10% of your gross income unto the Lord God of heaven? And when an individual rebels and says no, you better put a question mark as to whether or not they've ever been converted. Because you see, your pocketbook gets converted just as well as your soul does when you get converted. And we find very clearly, when people say, no, I won't do that, I put a question mark right away. I wonder if that person's ever really gotten converted. Now, how come? The leadership of God involves our lives. It involves our money. Now, it does. It involves our money. And one of the first things a believer has to learn is this. Wait a minute. The money that you had, you can't blow it anymore. It's not yours. You're a stewardship of it, and you're going to give an account unto the Lord God of heaven. Therefore, you have to take care of it. And you don't waste it as much as possible. You can't blow it on everything that you see. Well, why not, preacher? Because God expects you to be sober and walk righteously. And we see it involves things. And then we find also it involves our family. Now, preacher, what were you talking about? All right, if you're saved here today, it involves your family. Turn to Colossians chapter 3, if you will, and look with me. Colossians chapter 3, and notice what it says in verse 17. In Colossians chapter 3, and we see very clearly, the Word of God brings it out for our learning. In Colossians 17, look at what it says. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now that involves your life. Now, preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, when you go back to work tomorrow morning, all right, what kind of a job are you going to do? You're going to be sloppy? You're going to be careless? You're going to be like the rest of them, you know? They say, well, they put the stuff on the production line, and they go along here, and they say, well, this hole's a little bit off-center, so we'll just make it a little bigger, stick something in there, and it'll hold. No, it doesn't work that way. Whatsoever we do in word or deed, we do what? We do in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. So that involves our work. Secondly, it involves our family. Look at verse 18, Colossians 3. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, what do you have here? You have family relationship. The father's the head of the house, and God holds him responsible for the spiritual climate in his home. All right, what's he going to do? Rule like a bear? Rule like a dictator? No, it doesn't say that. It says this, love your wives and be not bitter against them. What's it mean? The husband's the king, the wife is the queen. And the wife being the queen is underneath her husband, and the husband looks upon her and they reign very clearly, and she sits at his right hand, which is a position of honor. And we see that's the way it ought to be. And the children are in subjection to both husband and wife. And don't you ever forget it. Now, what are we raising today? I'll tell you right now. We're raising today a group of terrorists. Because the kids rule the home. Do your kids rule your home? If you do, you're in a bedlam. Now, that doesn't mean they don't have freedom. But it means this, and if you haven't picked up that little book in your hands, some of you here ought to pick it up and read it, and you ought to apply it. Because I'm watching some of you, and I'm going to tell you right now, if you don't straighten out your children now, when they get a little older, you're not going to be able to straighten them out, because you're headed down the wrong road. Now this is part of our pilgrimage. Oh, it gets awful quiet in here, doesn't it? But we see very clearly, these are problems. We find also, they're not only the leadership with regard to the family, but there's also the relationship to our fellow men. Now turn back to Romans chapter 12, and let me quickly give you this because our time is gone. In Romans chapter 12, we find very clearly, verses 17 through 20, these words, recompense no man evil for evil, provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink, for in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, what do you have here? Relationship to our fellow men. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to be a doormat. But it means this. You set out upon this course of action. And people are going to misunderstand you, and they're going to talk about you, and many times they'll say things to you, or even try to do something against you. All right, you don't pay any attention, you shoot that mark. Now, how come? Because it involves our fellow men. You and I have to work with people. We don't go around with a chip on our shoulder. All you got to do is begin to talk to them a little bit about the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you right now, you get a quick enough reaction as it is. But we need to recognize that we are to be what? Firm and fair. And the reason? We live in peace as much as possible with all men. All right, there are some people you're not going to live in peace with. You might as well understand that. But you're not going to dwell on that. If they can't get along with you, always make sure it's their problem, not yours. Amen? See? And if you're walking in the will of the Lord, and another believer is walking in the will of the Lord, I'm going to tell you right now, there's going to be real fellowship and love and companionship such as the world doesn't know anything about. But if you're walking out of the will of the Lord, and the individual is walking in the will of the Lord, you're going to be the one that's going to have to get straightened out. And we better understand that. And we find very clearly these are problems. Now, why do I tell you this? Because along with this, there is the danger, there is a great danger that we all face. And now you say, preacher, what is that? Well, take your Bibles now and turn back to Ephesians chapter 6. And I have to close. Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse 10. Down through verse 12. Now notice it. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the seductions or wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. All right, now here's the danger we face. Now what is that? The devil hates us. Now, believer, you better understand that. If you're saved here today, and if you're not saved, you're not a believer. But if you're saved here today, the devil hates you. And you need to understand that. And being an object of his hatred, don't expect that his kingdom is going to be very friendly to you. And here's the danger we face. We forget sometimes that the devil hates us, and that we all many times forget this, that the devil will do everything he can, if possible, to cause us to make shipwreck of our faith. Now let's soak in. In other words, if he can pull you away and get you to believe a heresy, he's going to try it. And many of you here, and I say this to you kindly, many of you here today are riding on the preacher's coattails and on the preacher's knowledge. And what you better do is this. You better get off that, and you better start making sure that what you believe and what is your foundation is not because Peter Nortier said it, but it's because you found it in the Word of God and the Holy Spirit confirmed it to your soul. And only then are you going to be able to stand. Because the devil will do everything he can to make shipwreck or cause you to make shipwreck of your faith. Now, I've only gotten started, but I've got to quit. Our time is gone. So let me leave this with you, if I may. Here's our practical lesson. Are you a believer here today? All right, I'm going to ask you this question. Are you walking in fellowship with all the other believers in this church? Or are you pulling away? Or are you holding a grudge in your heart or a prejudice in your heart against that individual because maybe they said something or maybe they did something that you don't like, or else you think, well, they're trying to take over. Now, just a minute. You better be careful if that be your category. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you're wrong. Nobody's taken over in this church. You follow me? Understand it. Nobody's taken over in this, because this church hasn't got anybody to take it over. Jesus Christ. You agree? And the Lord Jesus Christ is our leader. And the Holy Spirit of God is the one that's in charge. He's been in charge of every facet of this service this morning. You don't see that in too many churches today. But he's here. And so we better recognize this, that if we're walking out of sorts, we're going to start holding a grudge against somebody. And what does it say? As much as impossible, live in peace with all men. Getting down to practical good living, isn't it? All right, last of all, always recognize this. Every individual that's a believer has his or her part to carry out the mission of God. Now, whatever your part is, all right, you perform it. You perform it to the best of your ability. And the willingness will come when the old flesh is put aside and the whole panorama is viewed in its proper perspective. Because you see, we're on a journey. We can't turn back. There's nothing to turn to. We turn to the side, we're going to be in trouble. We turn to this side, we're going to be in trouble. We turn to that side, we're going to be in trouble. We plow straight ahead. Why? The goal we have is to be apart and meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the very near future. And what a privilege and goal that is. Now let me close. Do you know Christ today? If you don't, I say to you at this hour, will you or will you not, right there, just surrender to the Lord Jesus? Well, you say, preacher, how do I surrender to Him? Well, are you a sinner? Do you realize before God that you're a lost, hell-deserving sinner? Has He opened your heart and shown you your need of Him? If He has, it's the grace of God already working your heart. He's bringing you to this position where He's saying to you, will you not trust Me for everything? Will you trust Me for eternity? Yes or no? That's what it boils down to. And when you do, immediately, you have the guarantee of God that as many as receive Him, to them gave He the power or authority, same thing, to become the sons of God, even to them which believe on His name, which were born, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but born of God. And may God help you today to trust Him. Shall we stand? Our Father, this morning, thank You for this time together. We praise You, Lord, for every aspect of this service. We bless Your name for the victory that's been won by Neil. And we thank You because it's Your victory. We thank You for each visitor that You've brought this way, and we bless Thy name for the ministry and song. And Lord, and we look into Thy word this morning, we bless Thy name again. How practical and pointed Thy word is. And so we pray, help us as we seek to do Thy will. Forgive us where we fail Thee, and Lord, work out Thy purpose in each heart and life here today. We ask it now for Christ's sake. Amen. Take your songbooks and turn to number 438. I want you to sing just one stanza. Let's sing it. Sing the first stanza, if you will. And let me say this to every one of us. If you need to surrender to the Lord God of heaven, do it. If you've had prejudice in your heart or anything like that against any other individual, particularly if they're a believer, all right, first of all, ask the Lord to forgive you, and then go to that person and ask them to forgive you too. And just as soon as you do that, I'll guarantee you right now, they'll forgive you. Amen? Let's sing this stanza. Come on. Dismiss us with Thy blessing, our God, and help us as we seek to serve Thee. And if it please Thee and thou dost tarry, let us meet back in Thy house again tonight to study Thy word together. Work out Thy purpose in each heart and life that's here.
We ask now for Christ's sake. Amen.